You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is part of our message series, Right on the Money. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. We're glad that you're here. Hey, we're concluding a series called Right on the Money. And what that literally means is that we want to take a look at money and we want to be correct. We want it to be true. And we want to be able to hit the nail on the head. Now, you may ask, you know, why do we talk about money? Or why do pastors talk about money? Or why do churches talk about money? Why is that? Well, it's not because we need money. Okay? God has blessed New Point in incredible, unbelievable ways. And there's many, many people at New Point who understands everything that we've been talking about this past month. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to be a Christ follower, if you're going to follow Christ with all of your heart, if you're going to be a fully devoted follower of Christ, you have to deal with this. You have to deal with the issue of your stuff. And it's more than just money, it's your stuff. It's all that God has entrusted you with. Because as we've mentioned, Jesus spoke more about stuff, about money, than he did heaven or hell. And so it's more than just about money, it's basically a steward issue. And stewardship is about two things, really, okay? First of all, it's about attitude. It's how I view my stuff, okay? And secondly, it's about perspective, and that's time, how you view your time here on earth. And so stewardship is one who takes care of someone's stuff. And what we're learning is that God has entrusted you and I with a lot of stuff. And so here's what we're learning. Everything belongs to God, everything comes from God, and everything is distributed by God or dispersed by God. And we're learning that we don't see our stuff the way in which God sees our stuff. God sees our stuff as a tool, something to be leveraged for his kingdom and for his purposes. God sees our stuff as a test, something that tests our life, our priorities, our heart. And God also sees it as a trademark. It really lets us know who we really belong to. And so today, I'm going to be very practical. I'm going to challenge you. And I'm going to challenge you in a very personal way. And if this happens to be your first time here, I hope that you come back, all right? Because you might just think that all we talk about is stuff and money. And it's not true. But we feel this is a very, very important part of a person who says that they are a Christ follower. And so I want to be specific today, not just about money, but about your whole financial picture. Because if we're going to be a good steward, okay, we got to have the right attitude and we got to have the right perspective. Which leads me to this. Stewardship is all about reordering your finances. Because many times we don't have the right attitude. We don't have the right perspective. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, let me give you five ways in which the majority of us spend our money or use our money, okay? Let me give it to you. Here's the first one. First of all, we spend it. Would you agree with me? We spend it. Secondly, we pay bills. We pay bills. The third thing that we do it is we use it for taxes. We have to pay taxes. The fourth way is that we save it. And the fifth way is that we give it. So basically, we take our money and we put it in one of these five categories. We spend it, We pay bills with it. We use it for taxes. We save it, and we give it. Now, what we have to understand is when we have it in this order, we usually end up giving God the leftovers. Right? We give God the leftovers. And the reason for that is because after we spend it, all right, after we pay our bills, after we use it for some taxes, after we save it, what happens is we look at what we have and we say, well, I'll give God some of this. And maybe if we see a picture of a starving baby, maybe if we hear of somebody who is in dire straits, it kind of moves us a little bit, and we'll end up giving that to that cause or that person or that ministry. And yet what happens is when you and I do it that way, God ends up getting the leftovers. Now, my wife is a great cook, okay? I don't keep this body without her great cooking, all right? And so she's a marvelous cook. And if I were to invite you over to our house and say, hey, you know what? We want you to come over. We'd love to be able to put on a great meal for you and just be able to serve you. And you came over, and let's say that we had you seated at our table, and I would just begin to yell to Patty, hey, okay, hey, bring out the Tupperware bowls and bring out the leftovers, and we would end up serving you things that we ate the day before. Maybe a little bit of Chinese food. Maybe we would bring a cereal box. Maybe we would have a hot dog or two. You know, how would that make you feel? Especially when I build it up that, you know what, my wife was an incredible cook. You see, we don't treat one another that way, do we? We give our guests the best. And the family eats the what? The leftovers. And what happens many times for us who are Christ followers, what happens is we take the best and we end up giving God the leftovers. And I think that he would feel like you would feel if you went to somebody's house and was treated that way. Now, there's two things that determine how I use this money that has been entrusted to you and me. The first way is through priorities, right? I mean, we've all done this. I mean, we're not so far into the year. We're coming to a close of the second month. And what we do is we usually sit down, we usually determine some priorities, and we set some things in order, and okay, this is what we need to do. We have a mortgage payment, we have a car payment, we want to go on vacation, and we want to do this, and we want to do that, and we got to buy school clothes, or we got to do this. And what happens is we end up determining where this money goes through priorities. But there's a second factor that determines, and that is self-control. And what happens is self-control is lost. And so we establish these priorities, but we don't have the self-control to maintain those priorities. And so what happens is we see something that is shinier. We see something that is newer. We see something that is bigger. We see something that is fill in the blank. And what happens is it blows our priorities out of the water. And the reason for that is because we lack self-control. We start off right. We begin right. And then something happens of where we lose self-control. And we begin to feed our appetite. And now we're all over the map. Now, why is that? Why does that happen to us? Why does that happen to you? Well, I believe one of the reasons why is because we're not thinking right about money. We're not thinking right about money. And for you and I to think right about money, we have to think of ourselves as stewards, not owners. That everything that that we've been entrusted with belongs to God. And yet what happens is we live in a culture of where the tendency in America is to think that we're all owners. And as long as we think that way, our finances will always be messed up. And here's what I believe. I don't believe that you can be a fully devoted follower of Christ and be messed up in your finances. You just can't. Jesus talks too much about it. He says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so Jesus talks about this. I said that Jesus talked more about heaven and hell, he talked more about money than he did heaven and hell. And so what I want to do is I just want to share with you one of his messages that he would speak often. And it's in Matthew chapter 6, and you can follow along. And he begins to say some really powerful, powerful things that will affect the way in which we view our stuff. So let's begin. Here's what he says. He says, no one, and we're familiar with this because we've looked at this verse a couple of times. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Wow. That's what Jesus says. And what he is saying is this. He is saying that it's impossible for Dwight to serve stuff and serve God at the same time. Now again, we're learning that, you know what? We would think that he would say you cannot serve God and the devil. But he doesn't say that. He says that you and I cannot serve him and stuff. He goes on to say this. He says, therefore. So basically what Jesus is saying, in light of the fact that you can't serve God and money, therefore I tell you. I'm going to tell you something, okay? Because he's talking to a group of people who I think he believes wants to follow God, like we are today. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Now he says something very, very profound here, okay? And even if you're not a Christ follower, you would agree with this statement. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? We would all agree with that, wouldn't we? Yeah, we would say that life is more important than food, and my body is more important than clothes. We would agree with that. All of us would. Why? Because it's true. It's true. And yet what happens is we have a tendency to think more about stuff. Stuff. You know, most men, okay, let me bring you up to speed, ladies, okay? Most men think about two things. Their stuff and sex. Surprise! Okay? That's basically what men think about. Stuff and sex. And what happens is, for many men, we feel this pressure. We feel this financial pressure. And there's this tension. And there's this pressure that all of us feel, whether we're male or whether we're female. And basically, Jesus comes to this passage, and he's teaching this message, and he is saying, this isn't right. This shouldn't be happening in your life. Because life is more important than food. And your body is more important than clothes. And so what he is saying here is this. Isn't life more important than college? Isn't life more important than your house? Isn't life more important than your car? Isn't life more important than your boat? Basically, what he is saying is, isn't life more important than stuff? Now, I can prove it to you today, okay? I can prove it to you. Here's how I can prove it to you. Let's say tomorrow you get a call from your doctor. And here's what your doctor has to say. we need to see you immediately. The test that we took last week, I'm sorry to tell you, is not good. And we're going to need to operate ASAP. And then we're going to have you take chemotherapy for the next 16 weeks. And I wish I had better news. It's going to be touch and go. The things that consume you emotionally, the things that consume you mentally, if you knew that your life was coming to an end, you know what? We would say, I'm not concerned about that. I'm not worried about that. It really doesn't matter. Life isn't where I'm going to live or what I'm going to have or what I'm going to drive or whether I'm going to get my kids through college. Life really isn't made up of that stuff. But what happens is this. We don't think that way, do we? You know why? Because we think as owners. And as long as you and I think as owners, we have a tendency to worry. We have a tendency to fret. And they creep into our minds, and they consume our thinking, and they mess with our emotions. But he says that there's more to life than stuff. That's what he says. Is not life more important than this stuff? He goes on to say this. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Check this out. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You know what he's saying here? He's saying that you and I worry, but we don't even worry about the right things. He says, well, you know, if you're going to worry about right things. Worry about the most important things. And yet he's saying here, hey, look at the birds. Just look around. He says, you and I have a tendency to worry, but even in our worry, we worry about things that don't matter most. He goes on to say this. He says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. What's he saying to us? He is saying, you worry about things that are here today and gone tomorrow. That's what he's saying. He says, we don't worry about important stuff. The important stuff is life. The important stuff is relationships. He said, you don't worry about that. You worry about stuff. And he's basically asking the question, do you know why you worry about your stuff? Dwight, do you know why you worry about your stuff? Do you know why you worry? And basically the worry word here in Hebrew, you know what it means? It means to strangle. To strangle the life out of you. To choke the life out of you. And he says, do you know why you worry? Because you don't trust your heavenly Father. Because you don't trust your heavenly Father. You don't believe that your heavenly Father, you don't believe that God can take care of you. So what happens is you carry the pressure. You carry the weight. You live with the responsibility. And what happens is it causes you and I to worry, and it literally chokes the life out of us. So Jesus is basically emphasizing here, saying, you know what? You don't trust God. See, this is why this is so important, because our fears go back to our stuff. And if you mess with our stuff, our security is shaken. And the fact of the matter is, our stuff always gets messed with. It's always changing. And yet our Heavenly Father says that He's the same today and tomorrow and forever. And so Jesus is sending this message. And he's saying, you worry, you worry, you worry. And your prayers are basically, help me, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. And it really doesn't matter how much money we have, does it? Because here's what is the case for most of us. If we would know what we're making today, let's say 20 years ago, we would say, oh, man, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. We're not going to have anything to worry about, honey. And yet we're all tied up in knots. You know why? Because what happens is our lives and our appetites end up eating up the margin in our life. See, here's what I know about most of us here today. You know what you're thinking? Dwight, if I could just make $5,000 more, my life would be easy. No, it wouldn't be. Because the fact of the matter is, if you don't view your stuff right, if you see yourself as a owner and not a steward, what happens is you will eat right into that margin. And you will still have the pressure and the weight, all of it. Because it really doesn't matter how much money you make. I know that goes against us, but that's why you need to be right on the money. Because the fact of the matter, it really doesn't matter how much you make. You know, everybody here probably is in a different category economically. And yet probably everybody here at one time or another has felt financial pressure. And the reason why is because we think as owners. That is, we spend first, we pay our bills, we pay our taxes, we try to save a little bit, and if there's anything left over, we want to give it to God. And Jesus is building this incredible principle here in Matthew chapter 6. And he is saying, wouldn't you like your heavenly Father to shoulder the load? Wouldn't you like your heavenly Father to be active in your life? Wouldn't you like your heavenly Father to be able to take care of you? Wouldn't you like to be able to lay your head down on a pillow at night and say, God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't even know how it's going to work out. But you know what? I know you're my heavenly Father, and I know that you love me, and I know that you care for me, and I know that you know my needs before I even mention them. So good night. Y'all okay? See, you can't do that unless you trust God with your money. You just can't do it. You worry, and it chokes the life out of you. And so he goes on to say this. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of what? Little faith or little trust? Goes on to say this. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? He says, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? Don't worry, what if I don't get that bonus? Don't worry, what if I don't get that raise? What if I lose my job? What if I can't? What if? Fill in the blank. He says, don't do that. Why? Here's the answer. For the pagans run after all of these things. You know what he's saying? He's saying people who believe that when you die, it's the end. Do that. He's basically saying agnostics and atheists live that way. They run after all these things. He says here, and your heavenly Father knows that you what? Knows that you need them. Wow. That's what he's saying here. He says, you know what? People who say that when you die, it's over, are the ones who run after these things. People who truly know me and believe in me, don't. He's saying, why do you allow yourself to be so consumed with the same worries and the same burdens of people who think that when you die, life is over? So he says, do you know why you do that? because you don't believe that your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Y'all all right? You don't believe that. You might say, well, you know what? I want to, but I'm not for sure if I have that confidence in you, God. And what he says is, I want to give you the confidence. I want to give you. He says, don't act like those who don't know me. And yet sometimes we do. He goes on to finish up his little message. He says, but. I love buts, okay, in the scripture. All right? He says, but. Now what he's doing is he's given a contrasting view here. Okay? He says, I just told you all of this stuff about people who worry and who fret and who get all torn up about stuff. He says, but, he goes on to say, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all of these things. What's all of those things? All of those things that everybody worries about. All of those things that everybody frets about. All of those things that just puts you into knots, that keeps you awake at night. He says, all of those things will be given to you as well. Wow. Unbelievable. So what's he saying here? He says, you know what? Hey, I know that you have to live. I know that you have to work. I know that there's things that you like. I know that there's things that you enjoy. I know all of that. I'm your Heavenly Father. I know all of that. I'll take care of you. But you're going to have to seek my kingdom first. You're going to have to invite me into your life. You're going to have to invite me into your finances. You're going to have to give me your heart. And if you will learn financially to seek me first and my kingdom rather than seeking your kingdom first, then here's the deal. You know what? I'll take care of you. I take care of you. Day in and day out. And if you want that kind of confidence, you want that kind of assurance, then you know what? You're going to have to seek my kingdom first. You're going to have to invest in my cause, in my purpose, in my kingdom. Now, how do you and I do that, okay? Here's how you and I do that, okay? We have to reorder our finances. What did I say? The American way is to spend first, okay? Pay your bills, pay your taxes, save a little bit, and then give whatever you have left over. And what happens is if we're going to seek God's kingdom first, we have to be able to reorder our finances. And here's how we do it, okay? You give to God first. You give to God first. So what happens is the first thing that you do when you're paid, the first check that you write out, or quote unquote, the first thing that you direct your money towards is God. You do it. You just write it out or you direct it and you say, God, you know what? I realize that everything belongs to you. Everything comes from you. Everything is distributed by you. And I acknowledge you and I want to invest in your kingdom because I want you to be invested in my life. I want you to be invested in my stuff. And guess what, God? You will not get any leftovers here. And here's God's promise to you and me. God's promise to you and me is if we're willing to do that, what happens is he promises to get involved in your finances. He promises that. And God says, you know what? I know your responsibilities. I understand your plan. I understand your needs. I even understand your wants and your desires. And you know what? I can handle that. But if you want me to be involved in your life, if you want me to relieve the pressure, if you want that to be taken off of you, then you know what? You give to me first. And you give a tithe. Here's what Deuteronomy says. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. So how do you know if God's first in your life? You go back to your giving. You go back and you look at your heart. And so we want to help you with that. Isn't that great? Okay? So in your weekly, we have a 3-month tithe challenge. Okay? And here's what it is. Okay? Here's what it is. You sign up and you tithe for 3 months, 90 days. And if you don't see God moving and working in your heart and in your life, we will give you every dime back. Y'all right on that one? You say, Dwight, why are you doing that? Because our mission here at New Point is to help people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. And you will never realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ until you get this right. And so we're committed to helping you do that. We want to make it as easy and as quote unquote safe as possible. So you give to God first. Here's the second thing you do. You save for the future. You save for the future. Proverbs says this. Proverbs says the wise man saves for the future. But check this out. The foolish man spends whatever he gets. You know what that is saying? The foolish person lives from paycheck to paycheck and experiences enormous stress and enormous pressure and worries themselves to death. And so to reorder our finances, what we have to be able to do is we need to be able to give to God first. I call it the 10-10-80 rule. And that is you give 10% to God, you save 10%. And it's amazing what happens in your life. And then the third thing is you pay taxes. Here's what Jesus said, okay? Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. Why? Because it keeps you out of jail. Okay? We live in an incredible country. Not a perfect country, but we live in a great country. And even though Caesar was a mean, rotten dude, you know what Jesus told him to do? Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. And so what we want to do is we want to give to God first, no leftovers. Then we want to save. Okay? 10-10. And by the way, listen to me. If you can't live on 80%, you're living too high on the hog. Y'all right? And you're trying to chase the Joneses. And when you catch the Joneses, all they do is refinance, bud. And then you're back behind them again. So you want to do that. You want to be able to pay your taxes. And then the fourth one is you want to pay bills. You want to pay bills. Okay? Scripture tells us to give everyone what you owe them. If you are a Christ follower, you and I should not have any outstanding debts to anybody that we need to pay. You're saying, Dwight, are you saying that you should never be in debt? No, that's not what I'm saying. You can be responsible there. But the fact of the matter is nobody should become knocking on my door saying, hey, you know what? You're 3 months, you're 6 months, you're a year behind on the payment. Y'all right? Still love me? See, that's how God wants us to live. Do you know I was doing some reading and here's what I found out, all right? That the average person, okay, pays $1,000, okay, $1,000 for their credit card interest a year. Now think with me, okay? $1,000. We have 1,000 families at New Point. You know what that's equivalent of? $1,000,000. What would happen if you and I would eliminate all of our credit card debt? And we would say, you know what? I'm not going to borrow to be able to try to upgrade my lifestyle. I'm going to be a 10-10-80 person, and I'm going to learn to be content. And you know what? With that $1,000, I'm going to reinvest it into God's kingdom. What could we do with $1,000,000? We could leverage it. It would be unbelievable. And then the final one is this. You get to spend the rest on you. Isn't that great? 80%. You get to spend the rest on you. You know what that's called? Smart money. Smart money. And I'm telling you, if you get this right, if you invite God, our Heavenly Father, into your finances, it will transform you. And so I challenge you once again up on the three-month tithe thing. You want me to tell you what? Here's what I would say. You do this, and if it doesn't work in your life, don't come back to New Point. Matter of fact, check out on God. Quit on God. You all right? Because if he can't take care of your measly bank account and money, he surely can't take care of your soul. He can't take care of your eternal destiny. And yet somehow we have a thinking that, you know what, he can take care of my eternal destiny, but he can't take care of my needs. He can't take care of me. And so that's a pretty bold challenge, but I'm dead serious on it, okay? Because otherwise we live and we act like pagans. And so what that happens is this, okay, or how that happens is this. Then my life does not become attractive to my kids. Because they see me worry. They see me fret. And it doesn't become attractive to my family or to my friends. So here's what I want to say, okay? Your heavenly Father already knows what you need. And he's a great father, he's a good father, and he's a generous father. And he invites you and I to reverse and to reprioritize the way in which you and I naturally handle our finances. And when we do that, you know what he does? He takes responsibility for everything in your life. You see, here's God's promise, that he takes full responsibility for the man or the woman who is fully surrendered to him. That's what you want, right? That's what I want. Most of all, that's what God wants. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. And we thank you that you are worthy of all of our trust. And God, I realize that a message like this bothers us. I realize that our defenses come up, and I just pray that you would move people across the line. And I pray for those who are experiencing fear and maybe are even trembling right now, that you would give them the courage to step across the line and to be able to put you first and watch you work. We thank you, God, for your promises. We thank you that you know what we need. We thank you that you know where we live. We thank you for the promise that you'll get involved in every area of our life when we get involved in your kingdom. And so we thank you and we love you. You're a good, good Father. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.